Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
God, I'm exhausted. Gene, how are you, man? Wow. Welcome to the War Chant post-game call-in show, where I think we're going to be talking about the garnet, the gold, and the black and the white today a little bit. Gene Williams.
That's it right there. Kerry Robinson nailed it. That's all I need to say right there. Good win regardless, but.
Whew, man. You know what? For the Noles to battle against 11 people on the other side of the football, Gene, and an officiating crew on top of it, and come out with a win today. This game should have been about Florida State blowing Boston College out, dominating the line of scrimmage, especially the Florida State front four. Instead, we'll be talking about nonsense, but we also will be talking about Florida State with a win and a chance to be eligible for a bowl next week with a win over the University of Florida. Welcome, everybody. This is the War Chant post-game show. He's Gene Williams, the founder and administrator of WarChant.com. My name is Tom Lang, the director of original content at War Chant. We ask you, the result is what you wanted. You may be angry at the officials, but don't be angry with us. Give us that thumbs up, because we're going to talk about how bad they were today. Trust us. Give us the thumbs up at the bottom of this video. It finds more Noles fans who are looking for post-game coverage. We appreciate your assist. And if you have not subscribed to our channel yet, please do so. All the buttons are right underneath Gene Williams. Gene, I give you the floor. Where would you like to start? Because there's good stuff to talk about, and yeah, then there's that ragtag stuff to talk about, too, with the ACC officials. Time is a flat circle there. Go ahead.
Tom, say it's a lot more fun to bitch about the officiating, the horrible officiating this game after a win, because you're like, you still won. It's a whole different animal when you lose, and then it's like, oh, you're blaming the officials for the loss, blah, blah, blah. So it was good. You know, I was really liked the game plan coming into this thing. They had Boston College on their heels. It was great. They were just expecting Florida State to run, and they did some short little play action, get the ball out in space. I love the play out to Ja'Kai early on to get them out in space, get your playmakers out there. Really, and that set the tone I liked. And, of course, the defense coming out, you know, they had no answer for Florida State's defensive line. I mean, it threw them off of what they do well, and that's throwing the football. When Jermaine Johnson, Kier, and those guys are able to get constantly in his face, and it threw everything off for them. And again, as you kind of hinted at the beginning, if not for some just ridiculous cavalcade of call after call, overturned, non-hold, this and this and this, ridiculous targeting, everything else, Florida State wins in a blowout. They win going away. The officials kept them in the game. Every time they're about to put the game away, they kept them in the game. They kept them in the game. They kept them in the game. Got to the point you're like, damn, they scored three straight times in the second half, and it's a three-point game. Thank goodness you got that stop. And, you know, I know a lot of times we criticize clock management. I love the way Mike Norvell, that last drive, how he was able to eat up the clock and not even give him the ball back, not even have to kick it. So well done, Mike Norvell, and the squad by doing that and beating both the ACC and Boston College. So congrats to you, one game, for being bowl eligible.
Yeah, I will tell you, Gene, I'll get the bad thing out of the way. It's very small. But it looked like it might have been a key situation. It was the fourth and one, the delay of game. That's on Mike.
Yeah, I agree. That was on FSU. But wait a minute. To me, I want to go back when I thought about that. Ago, that was a quick 30 seconds. I don't know how quick they reset the clock, because it didn't seem like it had been that long. Yeah. And I want to go back, but in the game, I don't want to have time to do that. I was like, how did those 30 seconds go by so fast? It looks like they just lined up to take the snap, and all of a sudden the clock runs out.
Yeah. Kevin, we appreciate your contribution to the program, to everybody who's in that chat. We see you guys. We see your frustration. And we've got something for you. We like to entertain you at the War Chant Game Show. So let me take down the score real quick before I put up one of two things. That's right. You tried.
Yeah, you did.
You guys tried today. But guess what? You failed.
You didn't cover, bitches. You tried to make sure BC covered, but nope.
Oh, right.
You lost your bet.
That dude's name is Gary Patterson, Gene, and he's been bad at his job forever. He got thrown out of the SEC. Everybody talks about Flanagan, old back in the day, Ron Cherry here in the ACC. That dude is the one. That's the guy who is just his crew is always in the middle of terrible.
And I think the ACC hired him with like 24 hours. Of like, oh, we can't wait to get the cast offs from the SEC.
Yep.
Yes. There
There's
we go.
Uncle June. I think Uncle June has better eyesight than half the guys out there in the field today. We're going to get to the highlights in a little bit, folks, and a couple of them are the bad calls. But you're right, Gene. Every time this game was in a position to be an absolute blowout, like to the tune of 25, 30-point victory for the Noles, there was a key moment. I mean, you could start even in the beginning of the game with the offensive pass interference call on Jordan Wilson. That's absurd. You could go
even Hasselbeck's like, that's a bad call.
It was.
You know the Boston College guy's honor during the game says it's a bad call.
Here's the deal, Gene. I am the last person to be the official screwed us guy. Like, I mean, really, because I know that there's emotions involved in watching the game as fans, and sometimes we allow those to get the better of us. Sure. But when you have objective evidence that piles higher than Doak Campbell Stadium itself, at some point you have to say that these guys put their hands on the steering wheel and course-corrected the game. This would have been something that we would laugh about and kid about in the third quarter. Instead, it was another opportunity for Florida State to show their mental toughness, and show it they did, because think about it, Gene. Now you got the Syracuse game where you blew a 10-point lead. Miami came back last week, went on a 28-3 run, and then you've got this disaster that was a combination of BC and the officials, and Florida State found a way to win each time. That's got to be buoying moving forward.
Yeah, no, it tests your mental resolve. There's no doubt about it. But I got to overcome it, because these things do happen. Even when in a good officiating, normal officials, non-ACC, occasionally you get a bad break here and there, you have to figure out how to overcome adversity. Now, this team has done it in spades the past few weeks. You pointed out those examples. So, again, it goes to, like, you know, the players talked about in interviews recently how they will put the players in practice in ridiculous situations. Like, this will never happen in a game. But you got to figure out a way to overcome it. You saw that again in the game. At this point, for that defense to get the stop, BC came in the second half, scored. Honestly, Tom, and I said to a couple people I was around, I said, if Florida State goes to the beginning of the half, what they didn't do against Miami, they get the ball, they go down and score, the game's over. I didn't think there was any way BC was going to come back. They scored touchdowns on three straight drives. Many of them officiated, you know, they benefited in that quite a bit, but that's a lot to overcome. A team that was held to 3 points and a half and they scored three straight touchdowns. What is going on here? You're right. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. They did enough what they had to do to win. They managed it correctly. They got the stop on defense when it seemed like BC was moving at will. But you know what? At the end of the day, when you control that line of scrimmage, you're getting in the quarterback's face when they got to come back. It eventually pays dividends. The officials kept bailing them out every time it paid dividends. But this time, enough was enough. And that won the game.
You know, I wish we could count how many times Florida State won the football game today, Gene, because I think we would have been eligible for a bowl just on today alone if you were doing it that way. We appreciate you, John. Thank you so much for your contribution.
Yeah, thanks, John.
We've got some other folks to thank here, too. But, Gene, before we get to that and we get to the callers in a little bit, you want the stats first or do you want the highlights first? What do you think?
Let's just look real quick at the stats. We'll go through them real fast. And a great game by Jordan, first of all.
Yep. You want to go individual?
You know, I know everybody wants to talk about the, always in throw for 300 yards. Man, again, three touchdown passes.
Yep.
He did not have a turnover in the game. He played it smart. Just what you want. 20 out of 34. He didn't make bad decisions. He made plays when he had to. He ran a little bit. He only ended up with, 26.
A lot of the sack yardage,
but still, yeah, a lot of sack yardage on there too.
Yep.
But I mean, he did what he had to do. I'm very impressed with him. You ran fairly well. I thought you would actually run for 114 yards. Again, some of that is negated by sacks, but I thought you honestly you'd go over 200 yards in the game. But you know, a lot of the game plan was get the ball out in space. A lot of the extended running game where they threw the ball out there to a lot of the receivers, Ja'Kai, those kind of people. So I really like the game plan.
They
I don't know if anything else jumped. Anything else? Of course, you saw the 13 penalties on there for 120 yards. That's obviously the stat that just is the only reason the game was this close is that's the number one stat.
Yeah, to me, I'd say about five of those are legitimate, and I'm not kidding.
Yeah,
I feel like
so
eight
it should
of them
have been 5-5. Yeah,
yeah, I think it's eight of them are either debatable or downright awful, and about five of them you just go, guys, what are you doing? Like the delay of game being one of those. There was a holding on a punt return. Like, okay, those things happen. But a lot of other calls were just unbelievably monumental, both on the offense and on the defense.
And there were non-calls. There were a couple holds on BC that went unknown. I mean, obvious guys being just freaking hugged, hang-tied in the back, and guys run right by him and no call. I mean,
yeah,
that doesn't show up in the stats, but those were there too.
Yeah, to your point, Gene, about the rushing total felt like a better day. There it is. It's highlighted right there. Sack adjusted rush yardage, 5.1 a carry. That felt about right.
That's bad. That's not bad. You take that.
Not bad at all. And your average yards per play is 5.6. It was in the mid to upper sixes after three quarters. BC's was around, you know, 3.5, 4, even with a couple of big plays in the second half. So you were dominating this football game. And I do want to start there. Since you brought up Jordan Travis, I know a lot of people would want to point to the defense again this week, and they should. I mean, that front four was unbelievable. It set the tone of this game, and it made Jerkovic think twice about everything he did. You could see how effective
it changed your game plan. I'm thinking some of those fourth downs when the fourth down stop FSU got. I was like, what are they doing on fourth and two running between the tackles against this defense line? I think they were afraid to have him go back.
Yeah, at that point in the game, the way we were dominating, yes, that was the better call for them, at least they thought. But on fourth and two, it wasn't enough. But Gene, I want to start with Jordan Travis here. I thought that's the most sharp that he's looked in any game this season. The throws he was making, the decisions he was making. The one thing I put it on Twitter, I was so steamed about that OPI call on the first drive, because what happens in that play, you've got a blitzer coming off the right. He sees it before the snap, walks up to the line of scrimmage, says, guys, settle down, checks us into something else. Snaps the ball, reads it through, finds Jordan for a wide open first down. Those types of processing moments. Plus, after the snap, you've got good footwork, you're calm, you're poised, all of that stuff. He did that all day today, Gene. That rail route, by the way, that's his. That's forever his route.
He loves that route, doesn't he?
I think the best thing that we can say about Jordan Travis now, it sounds kind of obvious, but when he drops back to pass, you expect now more than you ever have before that there's going to be a good decision made. Maybe not always a completion, but that he's going to make a good decision. And if there's a rail route down the right sidelines, I expect that to be completed just about every time.
And you almost had the one, was it right before the end of the half too? I think you had that one down there that, you know, didn't. Yes. I forget who it was. They didn't hold on to it. But
I just thought as a pure quarterback today, he was as good as he's been all season long.
Why is Dillingham about that too? Because he brought up how he's, now suddenly he's making checks and that he's reading things, making the checks, the poise, the confidence, which is something I said, and he didn't really answer directly. Like, that's a lot different than it was a year ago, because he wasn't doing that a year ago. And that's what I always try to tell people, man, this guy's growing as a quarterback. You can see it. And you see when he goes to sidelines, the confidence, he's into it now. Before it was just kind of like, well, I'm going to run around, hope to make a play. He's actually a quarterback now. He's doing everything a quarterback needs to do, and we're seeing the results. On Florida State, they won, which is great. That's what, at the end of the day, FSU wants. They should have won going away. But again, we don't need to keep getting it. I'm sure we will. I'm sure some of the callers and the people want to talk about that, and that's fine. But you're right. It really was a dominating performance, I thought, by Jordan Travis and the defense.
Yeah, Kim, thank you very much. My wife makes me do this. Well, yeah.
The we ACC officials, thank your wife.
The ACC officials also take years off of your life. So,
well, here's one for you. Oh, oops, wait.
Sorry, go back.
You got a shot. Vishal, man, you come in every week, man. You are, I don't know if he's a pillar, but he needs to be one of the post-game pillars there, Tom.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Vishal, man. I mean, unbelievable what we overcame today. There is no doubt about it. We appreciate your support, man. And this is, it's a therapy session for everybody. So if you're a caller who's on hold right now, you dialed 850-805-5911 on the War Champ post-game show, you're allowed. You're allowed to rant your ass off. You deserve it. Because that game should have been 2 hours, 45 minutes, rocking chair, get in, get out. Instead, it's 3.5 hours of you're doing this. You've got to be kidding me. I thought Jacksonville State was the low point of the season. You would have felt so viscerally ready to punch something, a wall, a pillow, hopefully not your friend. Like, it's just unbelievable how close this game came to being the black mark of all black marks on ACC officiating. But it wasn't.
And that's saying something, because they set a high bar, Tom. Yeah, that's a high bar to overcome, and they almost did it.
Oh, would you? Well, let me ask you that. I'm just assuming that's true, because to me it is. But what about you, Gene? Do you think if that happened and BC won, do you think that would have been, of all the ACC's accomplishments in officiating, that would have been?
I'm trying to remember some of the worst. I mean, in terms of the entire game, I still think that Miami game, the Nigel Bradham one, you remember that there at the beginning, there was a catch and fumble, and it's just for the entire game. I mean, there's games like, you had the Clemson game, that Jimbo year where they did the bogus holding call. But again, it's one call here or there. Right. This game from beginning to end, it just seemed like every series there was a bad call, a questionable call, and everything was going against Florida State. It might have. Now, if there would have been no other calls and BC came back and won, it would have been – it's in the top three, I would say, probably all the time. Now, if they did a couple more bogus calls to help BC get the win, then yes, it would have gone down as the highest watermark of all time in ACC buffoonery. Or – not just buffoonery, but frankly, fixing a game. It almost felt like at times, like, I don't know if they're trying to keep it close to keep it competitive, or was there something? Sometimes you go, I don't want to allege something shady's going on, but sometimes you go, how can they be this bad? Are they just this incompetent and it always goes against Florida State? Or is there something else going on here? Because this seems to always happen.
No, this guy was bad at his job 8 years ago, is my point. Yeah. I remember. So
you're saying it's just incompetence that just happens to always seem to fall against Florida State.
That's correct. More times than not, it does. Now, I'll note when it's like, ooh, we got away with one there. But, I mean, more times than not, especially with this guy and his crew. It's just, I don't know how you can assess his performance 5-6 years ago and say that, yay, let's make sure we extend him into the future. But that's what this conference does. Man, yes, and we'll get to the targeting call. In fact, Gene, let me pull up the highlights because the targeting call.
Yeah, okay, we'll take your phone calls and your comments. Appreciate it. We do have access to some of these highlights. We want to talk about this. So this is the targeting?
No, this is so we'll run the whole thing. So this is the first touchdown here. So this is Jordan making a hell of a throw to Pokey Wilson there, and then Pokey
goes back. I'm like, just don't at least keep the first down. You know, whatever you do.
So Jordan's going to roll to his left, and he's got a free rusher, but he's not worried about him. This is the thing I love about this play.
This is the mobility right here. Boom. Get out of my way.
What I love about that, Gene, is his eyes are down the field the whole time.
He's like, never looking to run.
He's growing as a passer, and then you've got the catch here, cutting back. He's still got the first down, and then watch at the top of that one, the number one on the field. There's Jordan Wilson.
Mm-hmm. Boom.
Excellent block. That's not giving up on a play.
And that is not your typical tight end. That is a monstrous tight end right there, hitting a defensive back, and he just lays down.
And he sets the stage.
And he had a block on the other touchdown too, Tom.
Yes, he did. He did. We're about to see that after this targeting call. Here it is. This is a third down.
Stop it. You need to do is go back and watch. Before he even slides, he's already in the process of making his tackle. There is no way to stop. Boom.
Yep. He's
right there. He's already going in to start his move to tackle.
Yes.
There's nothing you can do.
There's nothing there. No, what he's sizing up Jerkovich for is a hit to the thighs, and he's going to bring him down. It's a third down. This dude's 250 pounds. He bounced off Keir Thomas and others in this
game. He's 250, and how big is Robinson? 180?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So,
and here it is.
And he pulls his head away as to not spear him with a helmet.
I mean, just trash. I'm thankful
ridiculous.
It was the first half. You know,
he's back for Florida, so thank goodness.
There was a play, Gene, in the second half where Gant is on, I think it was Flowers, on a drag route, and they called DPI there, and it was a third down. We were going to get off the field, and they called Gant for grabbing the arm of the receiver. And I was texting with Jeff Cameron, and he's like, man, just get off the field. You don't have to do that. You're in good position. I'm like, I agree, but he shouldn't be in that position because 10 should be out there instead of 5, and that's the legacy of a targeting call like that, is you lose one of your key players and your enforcers over the middle. Yep. I'm just glad it was in the first half because we're going to have Robinson.
And
back.
I wonder some about that because Robinson's your best tackler out in the secondary. And I wondered about that. That second half, there's a lot of plays. I'm like, when they had some of those long plays, the guys missed seconds ago, I don't think that happens if Jamie's back there.
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree. I mean, it's a huge loss. And if the game wasn't close, we wouldn't have remarked on that, but it got close. And it's like, it would be nice to have 10 out there. Here's the second touchdown play. You see Wilson in motion before the snap. What they do is they set up.
I love the block here. Yep.
At the bottom, you got Cam McDonald. Good block there inside the 5-yard line. Here comes Jordan. This is not easy, Gene, because defensive backs are shifty, and Jordan ain't exactly 210 pounds. He's a big dude, so he gets his hands on him just enough.
And all he's got to do is lean on him a little bit because he goes 260 plus or whatever he is. All he's got to do is lean a little bit on that defensive back, and here we go. Oh, the safety.
Here it is. This is it's pressure.
Now break this down. Now, why this was a safety, Tom? And I know you said Hasselbeck did actually a good job breaking. Explain why this is a safety. Because first, when he catches it, he's on the line.
He does. So here it is. First of all, the throw is forced by Jermaine Johnson. Pressure that happened all day long. We're not forgetting Jermaine Johnson. I just wanted to remark on Jordan Travis first, but Jermaine was a beast again, an absolute beast. Forces the throw here into what looks like a drag or a screen. I don't know if it was a screen or whatever. But the entire football, this is for you soccer and hockey fans out there. It's like the goal, the rule for a goal. 100% of the ball or the puck has to be over the line. In the same way here, Hasselbeck said it in the broadcast, it's the exact opposite of a touchdown. Where any part of the football touches any part of the front of the white line, you've got a touchdown on the field. In order for a safety to be, for you not to have a safety in this situation, the entire football has to be in the green. The whole thing. And it is clearly not.
Yeah. But that doesn't mean, did you not think I was still, there was a lot of people around me. I said, absolutely, 100% it's a safety. That doesn't mean it's going to be called a safety because, again, we know the buffoonery crew we're working with.
Great tackle by Kalen DeLoach there to make sure that not an inch was given, and it made all the difference. And, you think about it, Gene's a three-point win. Those 2 points are massive.
Why should I shave? I haven't shaved the last two games, and Florida State's 2-0. So if I shave and they lose to Florida, then it's my fault for shaving. So I don't know if I want to mess with it.
Here's Jordan Travis, third touchdown pass. This is to Malik McClain. The broadcast paused it there.
Nice.
And then look at this. He's going up top. The live angle was late, so this is why you're getting the end zone angle. But I love this. Look at Malik go up and get a football. Okay.
Look at that. Corey Clark will love that because he always goes, you know, you're allowed to make those catches. You can go up and catch one.
Absolutely.
And they did it.
Here's the second terrible call of the day.
Oh, my gosh.
Here's your punt. They called
him. Watch him being, he blocked. Yep.
Oh, my goodness. This is just.
He touched his shoe, and that's a hit.
Let's take it. Okay, so he's blocked into him.
Yeah, he's blocked. Oh, he's really hurt on that one.
So what they called here, Gene, was not kick catch interference. They called, in this particular situation, after the play, unnecessary roughness. After the signal, he called it unnecessary roughness, not kick catch interference. So I don't even know what the hell the rule is that he's trying to enforce there. But you tell me if that's unnecessary roughness, and you tell me if that player isn't blocked into the returner. I don't.
There's no way he gets near him if that he's not blocked.
And finally, here it is, the fourth down play. And listen, for a day in which Florida State got pressure on the passer, I mean, consistently. Jerkovic had all day long to throw this football on fourth down. This was my heart was in my throat here. I'm like,
yeah, I'm with you.
Are you kidding me?
I'm like, it's converted. By the way, they've already
tick tick. Look at all the time he has.
I was thinking you have to get pressure on him.
They finally do, and it's
then I'm like, don't pick it off.
Right. Yeah.
Just knock it down.
Oh, the last thing you wanted to see there was a ball deflected in the air. You're just like, just find a way to get it to the turf. Akeem Dent comes up with the interception. And then Mike Norvell, as he did in the first half, I don't know that I've ever seen that before, Gene. Were to end both halves, first half and the end of the game.
Yeah.
You throw an incompletion down
the
sideline.
You rarely see that, which is a great play call to do that. But yeah, but you're right. I've never seen that in the game where it ended both the half and the game.
It did. And I remember it ending the Oklahoma State game in 2014 out of the Cowboy Classic. That's how Jameis ended the football game in the win for FSU, where they threw it, you know, it was like 6 seconds to go, and that was expertly navigated. We did that twice in this game. Took the delay of game at the end. Beautifully done. Well managed. It shouldn't have been that close, but you found a way to win. Florida State improves to 5-6 on the year, and a bowl bid is on the line next week as they take on Florida. It's a noon kickoff on ESPN. Before we get to the callers, it's time to remind you, our friends at Team Paper bring you the post-game show all season long, and we thank them for their support. If you want to thank Team Paper, go to teampaper.com right now, because what you are allowed to do at Team Paper is support the Noles that you love. The era of the NIL is here, and Team Paper, for every dollar you give to teampaper.com to support Tallahassee Bundles, as they're called, for Florida State football, basketball, and softball is incoming soon, by the way. For every dollar you give, 80 cents goes directly into the pockets of the players. For the players, by the players, that's teampaper.com. We thank them for their support. And remember, guys, you know, these football players, these athletes at Florida State, they can't go get a job on the side. They have to stay committed all year long. If you want to thank them, we appreciate you thanking us in the postgame show, but if you want to thank them, head to teampaper.com. It's also time to thank some other folks. Sam, thank you so much for your contribution to the program.
Thank you, Sam.
Yeah, 4 years of blowouts to competing in every game this year. That's right. You know, Gene, if you want to look at this from a positive standpoint, you think about the losses. All right, Jacksonville State's inexcusable, but that's a fluke as well.
But the game was, what was it, 90%+ when you were down in the row? I mean, that game was, again, imagine we're sitting here right now at 6-5. I mean, you'd be like, wow, okay, you're bowl. No, what bowl? It's not, will you be bowl? It was like, what bowl is FSU going to?
Yep. You've got a bad snap on a third down with Mackenzie Milton in the ball game, or maybe you beat Notre Dame outright on opening night. NC State's a one-score game late. I know that we debated the fourth down call, but you have your backup quarterback and two backup offensive linemen. You're within a score there. You've got the ball with 5 minutes to go and the lead on the road at Clemson. I mean, outside of Wake.
Officiating calls in that Clemson drive, too. That there's two very questionable calls that let him take that go-ahead score.
Absolutely. But, I mean, outside of Wake Forest, Florida State has been in every single game this year. You're not that far away from being
in Wake Forest, remember, 6 turnovers.
Yep.
You know, that's the thing. I mean, that's the tale of that game. You started McKenzie at 6 turnovers. You know, who knows? If they don't turn the ball over, that's probably a game.
FSU fan 93, we thank you. Austin, agreed. That's the best part about that targeting call is it occurred in the first half. Could you imagine if we didn't have Jamie Robinson ready for the first half next week? I mean, he's been a really good player for this secondary. Just unbelievable. Ingvar out in St. Petersburg. What's up? I don't know if it was bad management by Norvell in the second half. I will grant you the fourth and one, the delay of game. That's terrible.
Delay of game. That's the only one I'm critical of. Again, I don't, the clock seems super fast. I think they did half seconds instead of full seconds because that went fast. But again, but you got to look at the clock. You've got to see what's going on there.
Yeah.
And that would have been the game. All you got to do is pick up a foot. The game's over.
I mean, I don't think it's Mike Norvell's fault that officials decide to call Darius Washington for being outside the belt line of the offense.
Oh, my God. That was another one. I even forgot about that one, Tom. Watch any NFL game or any college game. The tackles are constantly lined up there, and it's never freaking called. And what I'm curious about, Tom, I don't know if you noticed this, when was the flag thrown?
I couldn't see it in live.
It looked like to me, the little bit I saw, it looked like it was thrown not until after he got the first down. It's basically a snap penalty. Yeah. Why wait till he picks up the first down to call it? Because you didn't want Florida State to pick up that first down.
Yeah, and it's another big time play that comes off the board, Gene, because it's a well run route. I believe it's Jordan Young. That's who they said on the broadcast anyway. And I like Jordan Young. But that's a well run route and an excellent ball on
and you picked
down.
Up a third and long, and it really would have put momentum back to Florida State. They're probably on a drive to go and score. It flipped the game again. It's another one of those ridiculous calls that flipped the game to BC.
Yeah, Javi, I agree with you, man. I mean, how can you not love this team? With all the things they've overcome, all their shortcomings, the things they can't do, we got so tied up in talking about that at 0-4, but they fight through adversity. And today, it was adversity not just from the opposing sidelines, but the officials on the field. You got to love those guys. Thanks for the contribution. Helicopter kicks. Mean Gene, use your law background and go in front of the ACC and get these refs canceled. Happy early Thanksgiving to you as well, Helicopter Kids.
Yeah, cancel culture, baby. Let's cancel the ACC refs. I'm all for it. That's something that should be canceled.
So, Gene, for the folks who are new to the program and new to Warchant TV, if you haven't done so, hit like and hit subscribe. Let's see if we can get to some of those benchmarks this week. Maybe I'll do something.
Yeah.
Can you just go over for folks what FSU, you know, can do? I mean, obviously it doesn't change anything, but what recourse does Florida State have?
Yeah, what they do is so they get the, you know, they have their film, the 22, so they get not just the film you see on TV, they have their own film, so they'll see the plays, and they'll create a film montage to send to the ACC, and they won't say, these are crappy calls, what the F? No, they'll be like, explain this to us, like, what did they call the roughing the returner, whatever the one was.
Yes, right.
Why when they had the tackle lined up there, why was this a procedure penalty when every single play on FSU and BC's line up in the same spot you called it here? Why was the Jordan Young, why was that offensive pass interference on that when this route's run all the time? So they can send clips of that to the ACC, and then they get feedback from the ACC. Now, I do remember this, Tom. Back in the Jimbo Fisher days, you know, he was very adamant about some of this stuff, and he would actually, let's say, leak out sometimes the response. Mm-hmm. And I remember, if you may remember, I put out that they made 12, it might have been that Nigel Bradham game, mm-hmm. when they made 12 mistakes in that game that they admitted. And of course, we leaked that out. So the ACC was just furious that got out. So now apparently they give very bland responses where they don't want to admit they've done anything wrong. So all the schools can do is submit stuff to the ACC for explanation, which is basically when you send 10 different plays, you're like, we disagree is what you're saying with those. You can't comment publicly. You'll be fined. It's unbelievable. Everybody in this age of transparency, apparently everything is hidden behind closed doors when it comes to all these bad calls. And there's no recourse. Like you mentioned, the fired guy from the SEC, he keeps getting renewed over and over and over. And there's no oversight because the ACC media days, which we get in North Carolina every year, and they have an officiating symposium. It's a nice, it's a really good thing. And they talk about a lot of the rules, but what I'd ask them, like, well, how do you guys, you know, who oversees these guys when you make potentially bad calls and this, they do everything in house. So really it's just like, well, you know, the outside wants to know, is Tom doing a good job? And be like, of course Tom's doing a good job. Even if you're screwing everything up, I'm not going to go publicly and say you're screwing up. So everything is kept in-house. It's incestuous. It's awful. They really need a third party to come in. It's not just Florida State games. Watch an SEC game and watch an ACC game. Oh. And you'll see it's a complete different in level quality. They need a third party coming in and clean house because it's embarrassing what's going on every Saturday.
Yeah, it's also a different philosophy. They let the kids play. I mean, I remember that 13 game down there in the swamp where Kelvin Benjamin's getting interfered with on every play, and then he figured out by the second quarter, oh, I can just chuck this dude into the bench.
Yeah, that's not a good thing. Kelvin's going to win those matchups.
Yeah, he is. Gabriel, we appreciate the contribution. Kier had a great game. In fact, before we get to the college real quick, let me pull up defensive stats.
Yeah, we forgot those. Can't forget those guys.
So Kier, 7 tackles. My goodness, nice. 2 sacks, 3 tackles for loss in the game, and he actually had another one. That the
3
kid
TFLs.
Bounced off.
Wow.
I mean, we racked up 4 sacks in this game, Gene. And if Jerkovic wasn't, you know, Jacoby Brissett in 2014, like Neo for the Matrix getting throws off as he's falling, what do you have? 8 sacks in this football game?
I mean, yeah, the pressures. And I'm going to be curious. We'll have the Pro Football Focus grades. Part of the thing I look at is they'll objectively grade all the pressures. I bet there's going to be a lot of pressures, hits, sacks, all those kind of things that they grade in this game. That was the game. Obviously, the offense executed well, especially in the first half. But you took Boston College completely out of their game plan. That's because you dominated their offensive line and got pressure on their quarterback.
Yep, no doubt. Nick, I agree. Well, yeah, you know, the hard part about this game, Nick, and I agree with it, that's a good post, is you almost felt like the officials were not going to call holding on Boston College out of pity. Because of the domination that was happening in the trenches. That's something that would happen at Florida State all the time when we were operating at peak. But you can't do that in a situation where the game is in the balance. Like, at some point, you've got to assess these penalties.
But, Tom, isn't that the long running? I mean, I know Ira's written stories. Corey's gone back and look at ACC officiating. They've shown, they've had statistical people come in. It's statistically impossible how less Florida State gets called for holding versus the opponent. Even though they put out all these first-round defensive linemen against bad offensive linemen, it's statistically impossible. It's still continuing to this day. Even though Florida State isn't what it was in the 90s, there's still continuing to punish Florida State on holding calls. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and yet it's so predictable. That's the hard part about it too. You almost have to just eat this as a part of your existence, and it should not be that way. Duke gets all the calls. They always have in basketball, but it's like Florida State didn't put the ACC in a position to make half of what the SEC does in revenue. If it wasn't for Florida State, the ACC would be the American. So whatever, that's okay. That's fine. We'll just keep overcoming it. We're going to climb. You can't stop us, John. I agree with you. Can you say holding?
Yeah.
It's time to go to the phone lines, though. We're overdue. It's time. Our first caller today is out in Memphis. It's Caleb. We talked to Caleb a couple weeks ago. Welcome back to the program, Caleb. And go ahead with your thoughts on the War Chant postgame show. You're talking to Gene Williams and myself, Tom.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey, Caleb.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, your thoughts, Caleb.
Okay, so I want to talk about Jarvis Brownlee. It felt like when Jamie Robinson went down, it just felt like he couldn't fly to the football as much as he wanted to. Mm-hmm. He's not great in coverage, but he has really good instincts, and I think he's really good in run support. But I was wondering why they just didn't put him in his usual hybrid role that he usually plays. And then secondly, I want to talk about the 4th-and-1, because I think Mike Norvell is getting a lot of slack. But in his defense, it kind of looked like Jordan Travis just kind of nonchalantly went up to the line of scrimmage, and that was like 3 seconds right there. So I think that's really a lot of the problems that they had. Just our defense played well enough to win the game, and Mike Norvell needs his credit because this is 2 games in a row where he's had excellent clock management when it came to finishing off games. Thank you, go Noles.
Hey, thanks, Caleb.
Hey, Caleb. He makes a good point. And that's interesting. Caleb makes a really good point about how well Brownlee did in that first, especially shutting Flowers down when Robinson was out there. But then suddenly Flowers went wild in the second half. And I don't know if that was the interplay between the not having. I don't know what was, if you caught anything schematically, Tom, why that happened in the second half.
No, I'd have to go back and take a look at where everybody's lined up pre-snap. But, you know, what I would say is that Boston College did a better job of isolating Flowers on matchups, and they got him on Deloach at least once in the second half.
Yeah, which is not a good matchup.
He's also open deep a couple of times in the first half that Hasselbeck broke one play down, but it's just that the pass rush was so good that, you know, there's no time for Jerkovic to find him down the football field. Flowers is a good player. He's a good player. But when you have a pass rush as good as Florida State's was in the first half, and this is something I talked about on the Third Lang feature, it's that interior push. Because Jerkovic likes to climb in the pocket, unlike a lot of college players that want to break outside. Well, there wasn't anything to run to. There wasn't anything to climb to that first half. That's why you saw him affected. That's why you saw the velocity on his throws. He was giving up on his throws. He was short-arming them because he was so affected. And I thought, frankly, he might have been concussed in the first half with a couple of those tackles where he slammed onto the ground. Go ahead.
I'm glad you brought that up, Tom, because I saw the one sack when he had, and you saw the head hit the ground and snap. And I know there's supposed to be a dedicated person in the box to look at those plays and stop it. When they see a play like that, he should have been pulled off and brought to the medical tent to do evaluation. So I don't know who is the ACC that made a rule a couple of years ago about that. How do you not see that play on replay and say, blow the whistle, yep, have him be evaluated for a concussion? So, I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah, that was – so we've talked to the concussion experts at Florida State over the years. We've had access to those guys. And the thing that they always told us was everybody looks for the helmet-to-helmet hits as a potential concussion.
Yeah, it's a head to the ground.
It's head to the ground because the ground don't move. And that's what they're always looking for. And that is by far the first thing that should be whistled down is if you see somebody's head hit the turf and the way he got up after, he was shaking. So I think that contributed to part of it as well. On the fourth and one, it's late coming in. I get what you're saying, Caleb. I get it. Jordan was a little bit nonchalant getting to the line. He was waiting for a call from the sideline. It looked like they took way too much time to make up their mind. By the time they did, the clock is between 11 and 9 seconds. The play clock is. It's ticking fast.
That's what I pointed out earlier. I really thought he had more time. I was shocked when I heard the call. I'm like, I thought he had about 5-6 seconds. So it just seemed like they blew – they turn the clock over fast, and it seems like Jordan probably thought the same thing. The sideline probably thought the same thing too, that 30 seconds went really fast.
Angel, we'll talk to you on the phone in just a second. I see you on hold.
Hey Eric, it's my boy.
Appreciate your contribution.
Jermaine should be getting some Heisman votes, man. If he played for a team that was much better, Florida State sitting here at 9-1 or something, or 9-2, and they're in the playoff hunt, you're probably right. He might get some Heisman votes, but not on a team that's under 500.
Imagine if he was doing these kinds of things and he was wearing an Ohio State uniform. I'm glad he's not. But, I mean, people would be talking about him left and right. Mm-hmm. Although C.J. Stroud had a nice day too, so I guess he's going to take the lead in the front runner for the Heisman.
Absolutely. Vote. And I think Jeff pointed out in the College Sportsbook weeks ago what a good value he was.
Yes, he did.
Whatever his rating, whatever the odds were a month ago, it was unbelievable. Now he's probably the favorite.
He is. He's got to be. Odds on, and he's got the big Michigan game next week to fortify his case. Gene in Ocala, he's a regular caller on the postgame show. We welcome him back. Gene, go ahead with your thoughts on today. It's a victory, but it was a weird one. Go ahead.
Tom, Gene, what's going on?
Hey, Gene.
We're talking to you, man, on a victorious Saturday. What you thinking?
On a victorious Saturday where I feel like my heart was about to jump out my chest for a minute and something left again. Just like you guys have been saying, I mean, just great game. Great game to see us pull all that defense and just say, it looked like classic Florida State going up against Boston College. You don't have the athletes that we have, and we're just going to show you that you don't have these athletes. The only thing I wanted to comment on really and truly was, and whenever you guys do the rewatch of the game, look at how Coach Fuller puts Jermaine on the inside like we used to do DeMarcus Walker in the second half, and he did it for the whole third quarter, and we were killing them. They wasn't even chipping. There was no answer. Mm-hmm. And you change something that's why they got those 2 to 3 touchdowns, because on the early downs, first and second down, they were lined up on the outside. Yeah, I understand sometimes whenever you line up.
Looks like we lost Gene.
We lost you, Gene.
Gene, always, we appreciate your calls. We look forward to talking to you next week.
Gene always has very insightful calls. I know you're one of the X's and O's guys, Tom's, and the kind of shifting him. And obviously it worked for, he mentioned DeMarcus Walker. He used to love when they would move him around different parts of the line. I didn't really notice that, but, you know, if that was happening a lot in the second half, that's interesting. Any thoughts on that?
No, so I'll admit this, everybody. You know, usually I'm a level-headed watcher of the football games, even though this is my school, and I went here and graduated from Florida State and grew up in Ole as a little child. This one was an emotional watch for me. I was so furious for the better part of 3 hours that when you're talking about schemes and personnels, and I noticed some things, but, you know, I'd have to go back and take a look. I'd have to see if maybe there was we lost somebody personnel-wise. And so they thought that putting maybe McClendon on the field with Keir Thomas and Jermaine Johnson was the best answer that we could come up with. I'd have to look. Yeah. But that's a good point, Gene. And we know that you're a very alert watcher. So I look forward to rewatching it with those insights. We now go to the pillar. We just put up his contribution to the program. We head out to Cincinnati. Eric Angel, what's going on, Eric?
Hey, Thomas G. How about them nose?
How about them? Hey, Eric.
Hey, G. Man, I'll tell you what, man. I'm going to give the refs a Christmas card and say, you know what? I'm going to write in there, you guys fucking suck.
Look at Eric just coming in dropping bombs.
I tell you what, if it ain't for Jermaine Johnson and Keir Thomas, where would we be this year? Man, them two guys are so dynamic.
Yep.
I mean, it's like in the NFL, I don't even know who you can describe as them two on our team compared to, you know, in the NFL.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was a great win, and on to Gainesville. Let's go bowling, guys.
That's it.
How about them Seminoles? This is a great day to be a fucking Seminole.
Hey, Eric, you need to turn into the Sunday Smash. I think you're perfect for that. So that's, call in Sunday.
Yeah, we appreciate you, Eric. We have a cap for pillars of 2 F-bombs per call, so you've hit your limit.
He's earned it. If anybody's earned the right to drop some F-bombs, it's Eric, because he's one of the pillars. And
he's earned it, and frankly, folks, today's a date event. Today, I mean, my God, it should be about what we saw from the front four defensively. It should be about Jordan Travis looking like a polished quarterback for several times.
Yeah, Mark nailed it. I think that was actually Jeff calling in.
Jeff masquerading as Pillar Eric, yeah. We go from one pillar to another. He's a I mean, I saw him in the queue a little bit earlier, but he called back, and we're thankful he did so. We go to Virginia Beach. We're talking to Gator. What's up, Gator Kirk?
What's up, Noel fans? How we doing?
I like it, man. You guys are bringing it.
I'm not going to drop any profanity tonight.
Thank you.
My question is, I'm going to forget all the crap that happened today. How do we use this for our motivation to beat those gutter Gainesville people down there?
Well, I think that's an easy answer.
The slime, the ooze, the disgusting scumbags that are in Gainesville, yes. I don't think you, Eric, you know what, Gator? I don't think you need any motivation. For some reason, I'm thinking, you know what? It's the Gators. That's motivation by itself. And number two, you want to go to a bowl. You got to beat those bitches to get to a bowl. So I think there's plenty of motivation there.
Any other thoughts, Gator?
What do you think, Tom?
Sir? No, go for it. I appreciate you asking me. I think that, look, it's all before you. From what we understood this week from around the program, and Ira alluded to this on the War Chant Report, which is those guys understand that there are still goals on the table. The bowl is still there. The opportunity to beat both of your in-state rivals for the first time in forever. It's all there. It's all there for the taking. And they're fired up for it. They had a great week of practice. They did. They came out sharp. That's the one thing. People were worried. You go up on the road, it's a cold atmosphere, which it really wasn't that cold. We played in games about that temperature earlier this year. But you go up, you play a sleepy nooner at Boston College coming off of a rivalry win. Are you engaged or are you resting on your laurels? They had a great week of practice. They were fired up to play this football game. So I think, Gator, to answer your question, I don't think they need anything else. They need to continue to do everything that they did this week leading up to Saturday. Do it again next week. And guess what? I think they're going to have a real good chance to win the football game because Florida's motivation is in question. Florida State's is not. What do you think, Gator?
I think that given some of the adversity that we inflicted upon ourselves, I think the short kick in the second half after we scored was really poor. I think we should have kicked out of the end zone. But some of the calls that may have been questionable that went against us by the referees, I think Mike Norvell and them use that as motivation to get really hyper-focused for what we're going to do in Gainesville next week. And as always, go Noles. Thank you for all you guys, what you do.
Thanks, Gator. We appreciate you.
Thanks, Gator Kirk.
Life, baby. That's how it works. Be a Seminole. Go Noles!
Thanks, Gator. Hey, guess
what? I love the energy that Gator Kirk and Eric are bringing, man. This is what, man, this is fun, these postgame. It's fun time when they win.
Yep.
The attitude. Guys are psyched up because they feel the worm has turned. This team's turning things around, and they beat the officials and Boston College this game. So it's two wins for the Noles.
They did. That's the most adversity they faced all season long. Like self-inflicted against Syracuse. Miami woke up in the second half last week, answered the bell both times. Today, you had to battle the stripes plus the opposing guys. And that's what makes today a little bit extra satisfying. And Gator, keep calling, man. Keep calling because we're showing on our records. We keep records of these things in our software. You're 11 away from 100 calls.
Wow.
Chant TV. So I can't think of anybody better.
Hopefully, maybe that'll be, who knows? Well, yeah, hopefully the bowl game post-game show. Maybe we'll hit 100 then.
Yeah, between now and then, there'll be some recruiting chats, I'm sure, live recruiting chats. And
basketball one, who knows?
Yeah, you never know. Noel Grad, 14. We appreciate your contribution to the program. To play What If, Norvell is a challenge of the Notre Dame, the overtime game, decent O-line, Travis playing more confident. Are we almost to the point of thinking Norvell might be able to get it done? Oh, well, I mean, long-term, I fully expect him.
Uh-oh.
Here he goes. Refill time.
Something.
Thank you. The Noles
Davey!
Are
big.
There we go. Saving me while I'm reading the graphics. I appreciate that, babe. All right. We're one away from the bowl. You better bring in a huge bowl next week if we just a popcorn.
See you, Jamie. Yeah, I'm gonna put some really good stuff on ice for that one to be bowl eligible.
That's Corey Clark water, everybody. That's what I'm drinking right now. I'm hydrating in the post-game show. Yeah, I mean, Gene, I've already believed that long-term wise, just because of how buttoned up an operation it is, and you have a locker room that doesn't quit on you at 0-4. Absolutely, I believe that Mike Norvell is going to get this in the right direction. Sure.
Did you see that stat they put up? There's only been two Power Five teams that have gone 0-4 and gotten bowl eligible.
Is that right?
That ever done that? They put up that stat at the end of the game. So that would be one more win. You're going in history, and that's something. You know, we kind of saw this, honestly. We saw it as soon as preseason practices. I know people are all about results and wins, and I get it. Most fans are result-oriented. But, you know, we saw this. We saw guys buying in. You know, you saw the transfers. I mean, the fact that they had that horrible this season, you're getting your Jermaine Johnson. You're getting these, you know, the Jamie Robinsons, guys like that to transfer in. You know, you see the recruits coming in, the Travis Hunters. Even before these wins, even when they're losing to Jacksonville State, they still had so many positive signs. So I already saw that before this. I'm not surprised that they're winning these games because the foundation had already been laid for this. And I think a lot of the fans are just now kind of going, oh, this team's pretty good. He's turning some things around. You saw the signs pretty early on. So it almost, man, it really would be beneficial to win that. I mean, it's going to, even if they lose this next week, they've done so much. You see the turnaround happening. Sure, it would be great to get this win. But, I mean, more importantly, man, that recruiting, we're less than a month away from that recruiting class. It looks like they have a really good recruiting class. You got the number one recruit in the nation. They just had that five-star Georgia commitment coming in. And I know Michael Langston and our rivals recruiting analyst both predicted that he's going to flip to Florida State. You know, that's, we talked about who's going to replace these guys. Well, you start bringing in the five stars on the defensive line. This becomes what we saw against Boston College becomes a regular foundation. If Florida State's strong up front, you know, it doesn't matter how good their quarterback is. If you dominate them up front, you can win games like this.
Yeah, there's no doubt. We're in a place now where you can expect Florida State to play hard every week. That's no longer a talking point. That's good. It sounds so small, but it's evidence of buy-in. And you have these kids who have been failed by multiple staffs if they've been here for a long time. If they've been here 2 or 3 years, they've been failed by one staff prior. And then they go 0-4 after working their butts off all offseason long, and they still fight. And this is as healthy as this program has been in a long time. Mark, I see your comment there. He should, yeah, from 0-4 to go 6-2 to finish. If you do this, if you pull this off, you've gone 6-2 to finish the season, and your two losses were you were beating Clemson with 5 minutes to go, and with a backup quarterback, you're almost going to beat NC State at home.
Yeah,
that's unbelievable. That's an unbelievable turn on. We'll see if they can finish the job. And Mark, your earlier question, SEC officials, yes.
Yes, thank goodness.
After the 0-3 game that Gene broke down right here on War Chant TV with Chris Ricks and Dominic Robinson, which is a great video. If you haven't checked it out, do so today and enjoy the post-game glory of comparing 4th-and-14 moments. It was after that fateful day in 2003, I believe, that the Florida-Florida State rivalry did not have ACC officials on the road and SEC officials on the road. Mm-hmm. It's home stadium, home conference officials. So, Mark, the answer is yes, SEC officials.
And those games are usually pretty well officiated because they're SEC, because they're actually professional officials.
They are. They're being paid and they act like professionals. It's unbelievable. Yeah. What a concept. Randall, thank you so much for your contribution. Weldon, great name. That's a really good name, Weldon.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, we appreciate your contribution as well. We go back to the phone lines on the War Chant Post Game Show. We go out to New York, another frequent caller on this program. What's up, Josh in New York? Let's talk, man. The Noles win. What you say?
Tommy, Tom, and Gino!
These callers are bringing it.
We got a dub. That's what it's all about. I'm just going to rehash it, Gene. I'm 2-for-3. Since 3 weeks ago, I said, everybody relax. We're about to win 3 straight and go to the bowl. And that's what's happening so far. The only issue that I can have right now, if I'm nitpicking, is these third quarter lulls drive my blood pressure through the roof. The third quarter lulls, and I don't know if it's Kenny not adjusting to what they adjust to quick enough, because it happened, this is the second time in a row that it's happened to him, or if we're just not playing with enough fire. I don't know what that is. And just to add to you guys, fuel to more of your referee, tragedy. Did you guys talk about Cooper's PI? That was not a PI at all, where the receiver was pulling him down.
That's another one.
That was just another tragic officiating mistake. But my question is for you guys, is this simple. Do you think if we win next week, when we win next week, because there's no way I'm losing to the Gators, no way. We came this far, can't lose. When we win next week, starting next year, will we be in the top 25 preseason? I'm very curious to hear what you guys think.
I haven't even thought that far ahead. That's interesting, Josh. I mean, it could be. I mean, I guess a lot will depend on who they get in transfers, mm-hmm. how the recruiting class goes, who's coming back. There's a lot of factors, but it's not impossible. I mean, if things click the right way, I could see them getting some votes to potentially be in that top 25. So, that's it too. And Josh, your other point, it's interesting on the third down lulls, because that's what I thought on that first drive. Because you got to remember, Florida State took the ball to start the second half, went right down the field, a very decisive drive, and scored a touchdown. I thought the game was over effectively at that point. And I think, was it the next drive? I think they were driving again. They had a couple ridiculous penalties, didn't they, in that next drive?
I don't know if it was the next drive, but the third quarter included that, illegal formation on the fourth down. I mean, so you're talking about.
Yeah, this is the one. I'm looking at the play-by-play. So that was they converted. That was the weird call on the offensive line they shouldn't have had. So they might have gone down and scored 2 straight touchdowns the third quarter. So you could say the defensive lulls, because BC scored 3 straight times.
Right.
Obviously, they made some adjustments. They figured out how to get Flowers out in the open field. But they got a good quarterback, a really good receiver. They did a good job scheming it up to get him some plays. But so I don't know if between the officiating and they did score on the first drive, I don't know if it's a thing. But it is a little bit of a trend. But I don't know what you think, Tom.
No, not today. I hear you in general. I hear you. There are lulls. And there was that one three and out. I think the game was a 3.
There's four. One. There's the one
margin,
3 and out.
Yeah, the margin was a 3 there. And you'd like to have a response. You didn't get it. But, I mean, yes, you come out of the break, you score your touchdown, it's surgical, it's an excellent drive. The next one should be points of some variety, and the officials step in, and then the whole thing goes haywire. I mean, this is another unique circumstance, but they found enough plays out there, both on offense and defense, to get the job done. I hear you, Josh, and hopefully you do get to be the purveyor of the Pinstripe Bowl. A little thing we could talk about briefly before we go back to the phones, but, Gene, 5-win teams make bowls. There's a chance that Florida State found their way into a bowl today, that they might have done so today. Whatever happens next week,
that's true.
The APR has gotten better. The Florida State brand for the types of bowls that, house teams that win 6 games would definitely look fondly upon a Florida State fan base that wants to go to a bowl. They might have accomplished the mission today. I'm not saying don't go down and beat Florida. Beat their ass. You always want to beat the Gators. But they might have done enough today.
No, that's a good point. I mean, they do make these exceptions down. The Gasparilla Bowl desperately wants FSU because no one is going to bring more fans down there in Florida State. So if there's an excuse to get Florida State in at 5-7, they'll do it. They'll take it. Florida State will be in a bowl game. But again, we don't want to have that uncertainty to go ahead and beat the Gators next week, and all that uncertainty is out the window. I haven't seen any updates. I think it was 3-0 Florida. Is it still 3-0? I'm curious if they're going to lay an egg up at Missouri, because that's a place traditionally Florida does not play well. My fear is if they lose up there, they may not let Mullen off the tarmac. He may be left in Missouri, and they get an interim coach like Odell, and they might want to play for that guy. So I'm kind of not sure how I feel about that game.
Yeah, right now it's 3-3. So the
3-3,
Florida
defense, okay.
Yeah, as ESPN tries to pull up an ad on me, I say no to you. It's 3-3 at the end of the first quarter. But we shall see how that game develops later on today. Again, thank you, everybody, for all your contributions to the program. We will circle right back to the phone lines, and we'll talk to Kyle in Colorado. Kyle is a little bit perturbed. Why are you perturbed?
Kyle.
Go ahead.
Hey, guys. First of all, I love what you guys do. Glad to be taking a call here. But I know the narrative on this program is we can't put two halves together consecutively. Now, this game, I didn't feel like it was necessarily that. So is this game more of the refs interjecting themselves or Florida State making mistakes where they can't put two halves together consecutively?
Yeah, that's a good question, Kyle. That's kind of the last caller. I think Josh had brought kind of something similar about that. But that was my point. So I would say that if they would have come out flat on that first drive, the fact that they got the ball to lead the second half and went right down the field, a decisive drive, got a touchdown, which in my opinion was kind of the should have been the nail in the coffin. And then the next drive, so BC scores. Look, you weren't going to shut them out. You were going to hold them to 3 points. They got a really good quarterback, a good receiver. So I wasn't shocked by that. And it looked like Florida State was starting to drive down and answer again. And this was the 4th and 5 where Travis completed the ball to Jordan Young for the first down. And that was that weird because the tackle was not lined up where he, even though he's lined up the whole game there and the BC tackles line up in the same spot, that was an officiating thing. Because if he converts that pass, they're inside the 30-yard line. They're already in field goal range. If nothing else, they've answered it again. So I think this is more the officiating sucking the life out of Florida State at times. And I think there's a couple times when BC got the ball back where they should have had stops and the officials helped them out on that too. So last week, yeah, I think this was part of they came out flat. There were some issues there. I think this was just more the officiating really than Florida State.
Yeah, I'd say 80-20 officiating for this particular game. Yeah. There's a couple mistakes that you're like, come on, guys. I mean, really? You got to clean that up. But mostly it's about the stripes today. And the other thing is when you don't have depth of talent, you're going to go through lulls. I mean, that's part of it. You know, when Florida State is operating the way it should, then you know what? We'll probably put 60-minute games together. Like consistently, first half, second half. But when you're operating behind the eight ball at a lot of positions, like think about today with the receivers. Sometimes they made good plays, but there were a lot of drops out there too. I mean,
there were a few.
Yes, in the first half.
Parchman had two in the first half, didn't he?
He did. Pokey had one. Pokey fell down on another one. McDonald had one. I mean, yeah, there was. I mean, I don't know if they'll all be graded as drops because some of the throws weren't perfect.
We're a little behind him, yeah.
But, I mean, if you get
two hands on the ball, you got to catch it.
If you're a receiver at Florida State, most any time in the last 40 years, you're going to make those plays. But, you know, you're operating behind the eight ball a little bit. Linebacker still is a problem. I mean, these things add up to bad stretches in football games. You just got to find enough plays out there to win in order to inspire recruits enough to sign the dotted line and improve the program. And that's what we're on the brink of doing that, Gene. You validated the Miami win. Mm-hmm. That's the thing about today that I think is the big thing. As the sun sets in my room here. You validated the rivalry win last week. It's not a fluke. You showed up. You were prepared. It's easy. You can text it to all your recruits and say, you see how the officials try to job us today? Look at us. Look how tough we are.
And, Tom, it was interesting that everybody on the staff, I was curious, everybody on the staff picked Florida State to win. And we're not full of homers at War Chant, but, I mean, because we know this team. Normally, a team like this, you get a big emotional win at home against a rival. It's just natural to have a letdown. This fortitude of this team is a lot different than what we've seen the last few years. So you knew they were going to go on the road. They were going to fight and be physical against a team that was going to want to be physical against you. And they did exactly what we thought they were going to do, absent sans all the bad calls. But, you know, they went in, they fought, and they played well, and they didn't let that get to their head. And this is a testament to what Mike Norvell is doing with this program.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And Gene, so we do have Mike Norvell's press conference. It was not the usual, if you can believe this, there is a recording of the press conference from inside the room after a football game. The Zoom was not working for Florida State, so we do have the angle and we do have the presser. Do you want to give that a go and hear Mike Norvell's thoughts after the win over BC, or do we want to punt on Mike?
Yeah, because we'll have that. You can watch that on War Chant TV. We'll have that. If you're, again, this is a good opportunity to tell people to subscribe to the channel. Bottom right, you'll see a little subscribe button, and you want to do the hit the bell so you get the notification so you can watch every Mike Norvell press conference we always have on War Chant TV. Original shows tomorrow night, Ira and Jeff get together for an unfiltered Sunday smash where they get a little bit more detailed into the game and talk about some other FSU stuff. And of course, you guys, Jeff Cameron Show. Monday, I want to say Monday through Friday, but Tuesday's the Seminole Headlines. But it's 1 to 3 every day. You either get Jeff Cameron Show or Seminole Headlines on Tuesday. And, of course, the post-game show next week after Gainesville, noon kickoff. against the Gators. We'll be on about the same time, breaking it down, taking your phone calls. Oh, again, I got called out again for the Ward jersey. you know what? There's no light. That's just the sun or whatever shining in on that right now. I took that down. One of the batteries is not working, so I've got to replace that light. Sorry, but Travis, we do appreciate the tip for us, and I will put that tip towards a new light for Charlie Ward. We don't want to diss Charlie. We want to make sure he's in. And Jordan Travis looking very Charlie Ward like on a few of those plays today.
And he's getting better every week. You know, I'd say 2 or 3 weeks ago, the Clemson game, if you rewatch, you're like, he made a couple of really nice throws. Now, the offensive line wasn't able to generate consistent ground game for the offense, so you didn't have balance. But a couple of those throws against that defense were impressive. Then he does it again last week against Miami. Then he does it again today. It's starting to trend towards Jordan Travis gives you a chance to win a lot of football games next year. Like, I mean, that's just full stop. That's where we're going. If he continues this growth, you've got a real chance with him. You don't have to worry necessarily about finding yourself a starter in the transfer portal or leaning on AJ Duffy to come in and make an immediate impact. Man, Gene, the futures look good for FSU in terms of win total. And to answer Josh's question from earlier about are they going to be in the top 25 next year, Gene was spot on. It's the transfer portal. You have to replace Keir Thomas and Jermaine Johnson. You've got to be able to replace those two. I like what McClendon is doing in some certain situations on the field for us, but you're going to need more answers than Derek McClendon in order to be able to replace that type of impact that we have at edge rusher right now. It's just, it's so comprehensively good. It's not good for Florida State, good for the ACC. It's legit really, really good. That's going to be a major hole unless they can go into the transfer portal and go find themselves another stud this offseason.
And Tom, I was thinking about this too. It seemed like you're talking about how Jordan's developed. It seemed like they've recognized that the coaching staff, they're calling this game differently than just what they would have called it a month ago. They go into this game immediately. You think they're just going to run immediately. They put Jordan on the spot and have him throw the ball around. And it caught BC off. They didn't expect him to do that. Because I think what they saw, what happened last week, that they know they can depend on him not only to run the football, run the zone read, but to also go back in the pocket, make, like you said, make a check at the line, make the reads, throw the little outs, get guys in space and do those things in rhythm on time. And man, for the most part, a couple throws maybe a little behind some guys here and there, but for the most part, man, you couldn't ask for more. And it's just amazing his development. And just, we saw the signs last spring, and a lot of the fans were upset early on. He's not developed. He's the same guy. And it's a different thing in practice, obviously, than in games. But now we're seeing it translate to games. And the coaches are now going, okay, it's working in games. We have confidence in him. We can open up the playbook a little bit. And it does so much for an offense. When they have to respect him running the zone read, you got some good running backs, the line's blocking better, and all of a sudden they got to respect you vertically a little bit and horizontally. Man, that's fun. That's when it gets really fun to be an offensive player.
That's when the offense does what Mike Norvell did at Memphis, why you got so excited. There was one play today. It's a simple one. I don't even know. It might have gained 15 yards. But it was an RPO and a pop to the seam to hit Cam McDonald. You know, and that's the essence of this offense is you want read option. You want the quarterback to be poised enough to see an opening, get the linebackers to flow down, and you hit the tight end of the seam. If we get ourselves a legitimate tight end in this offense, they're going to be one of your favorite players to watch. They might be listed as an H-back or whatever, but these little elements of the offense, what I saw today, they're the things that in theory are supposed to happen all the damn time with a Mike Norvell offense, but you've just been limited. And they've worked around it, and they found a way, as our next guest, I see him in the green room right now, will often say, this offense is going to find a way to score just about 30 points every week with Jordan Travis, and it's because they work to his strengths. The good news for all of us, his strengths are increasing. They're becoming more of them, right, Gene?
Is this the bullpen, the holding pen? What are we calling this when we got guys, when we got our guests coming in here? We'll have the there he is, the Sea Dog. What's up, Corey?
What's up, guys?
You're not live from Boston, I'm guessing.
No, correct. I didn't bring this banner with me. I'm in my kitchen. But hope you guys are doing well.
Corey, you love the flights up to Boston. Oh, I figure you just rolled the thing up and put it in the overhead.
Yeah. Exactly right.
All right. So Corey, go ahead, Tom.
I was going to say, officiating, do you want to start there? Do you want to start with Jermaine Johnson, Jordan Travis? Where do you want to start?
Yeah, that was kind of what my column was about, is like it was everything went against them. Everything went against them. There were four calls by the officials that changed the game. They weren't just bad calls. They were game-changing calls, I thought. And that's what was so frustrating is the officials kept giving Boston College opportunities and kept not letting Florida State put the game away until the end where Akeem Dent finally put the game away.
Yeah, it was it's
– Can y'all hear me or am I freezing?
No, you froze for a second, but you're good now. And I was curious about this, okay, too. And someone had asked Corey, is this – the worst, and I said, I still think that Miami game, the Nigel Bradham, might have been the worst one from beginning to end. We've seen a horrible call here and there, and I thought if there would have been a bad call or two at the end and BC would have won, then I said this might have been the worst officiated ACC game of all time. How does this rank on your all-time worst ACC officiated games?
I mean, it's up there. It's on the Mount Rushmore for sure. It was an awful game. Again, Jamie Robinson, like, what's he supposed to do? I know by the letter of the law it is what it is, but that kid is a huge kid. You have to tackle him low. Nobody expects him to slide short of the first down marker. I mean, that's crazy on a third down run. All of it was just the OPI on Jordan Wilson cost you 7 points. It cost you points. That game doesn't even come down to the final drive if it's there not it for is. That. I mean, what – right there, Jamie Robinson is already starting to lean forward. He has no idea that kid is going to slide.
Yeah.
He's trying to tackle him at the legs. Right there, he's going down. Yeah, he has no idea.
He's still up. He could turn into him. And you're talking about, what, a 250-pound quarterback versus a 180-pound defensive back?
Yeah, I mean, it's a Roethlisberger versus a corner. It's crazy. And then the OPI on Jordan Wilson was ridiculous. The pass interference on Amari Cooper, I thought, was ridiculous. It just happened to be by Boston College's sideline. And then I don't know if I've ever seen a guy be called a tackle be called for that play, which cost, again, Florida State a fourth down conversion where they were going to be at least in field goal territory and probably put the game away right there. That's what's frustrating. Plus, they got so close to that strip sack and fumble that ended up they scored on the next play. I'm not saying that was the wrong call. It's just they were so close to getting that. It felt like the game was slipping away and they were going to blow it. And as a Falcons fan, I know when you have a big lead like that, sometimes it can get a little dicey. The way they held on, what the offense did in the first half and then that first drive of the second half was just enough. And man, 26 points. You're 5-6. It's just crazy where they are right now.
Yeah. And it's one of the things you've written about extensively in the past too. You have this great defensive line and that's one of the storylines of this, not a single holding call. Of course, we never saw a single hole in the game on BC either, despite having Jermaine and Kier and these guys running roughshod.
Right.
A couple things I want to ask you about. Let's get away from the officiating. I'm sure you're going to write about that more. We'll hear about it. But I guess let me start on the offense. I want to talk about the defense in a minute, but the offense. What Jordan Travis did, we noticed immediately the coaching staff has renewed confidence in him. They're calling plays now as if he can throw right off the bat. He's throwing the ball around and throwing it with confidence. How different? I mean, did you see in the last couple weeks how he's grown in terms of being a complete quarterback?
Yeah, it kind of really started in the Clemson game where all his big plays were from the pocket. They didn't do anything outside, and now they've kind of just embraced that a little bit. You look at this game, the kid that made the plays with his legs was the other quarterback. Like, Jordan had some first down runs, but that other kid, he didn't keep any drives alive on third down with scrambles, and Florida State's got to get better on third down. They are terrible there, and they continue to be terrible. Third and short, third and long, it doesn't matter. But Jordan Travis throwing the ball is a real thing. He can do it. We've seen it. And just wait until he's got a little bit better talent out wide. And let's see what it looks like then. Because those guys, you know, if he just had the Flowers kid from BC, that kid made a ridiculous run. Florida State guys don't typically do that. Pokey had a nice one on the first touchdown. But they don't have special guys. They might have some special guys coming in. And let's see what he looks like with one of those guys. Because you believe in him now as a passer, don't you, Tom?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're talking to me. Of course, I believe more now after seeing Clemson, Miami, and this than I did. Like, I didn't think it was possible for what we saw in camp. Because, Corey, we saw it in camp with Jordan Travis. When he's wearing the green jersey, both the spring and the fall, he's making plays, going through progressions, and he has the calm lower half in the pocket. But, you know, again, when that non-contact jersey is on with that offensive line in front of you, it's much different than when you see live ammunition, right, on the field. And you saw some of those bumps on the road when Florida State played Notre Dame the opening week. It's like, all right, maybe he's just not able to slow it down enough when the game is live. But now it's a trend. It's almost – I'm to the point now where I expect him to make two or three really good throws next week on the road in Gainesville Before it was just throw it enough so that you can use your legs to be a weapon. Mm-hmm. It's gone to a different place now, Corey. You're absolutely right. And listen, I think for my money, as good as Jermaine was and as good as Keir Thomas was, I wanted to lead the postgame show. I thought that was as sharp as Jordan Travis has ever looked. A lot of the throws and decisions he made showed great poise and processing of information down the field. I don't know if you agree, but I thought this is his best performance yet.
Oh, yeah. Maybe North Carolina, but that was a different kind of game. He only threw it 13 times. This one, they had to win with his right arm, and they won in large part because of his right arm and then those two defensive ends you talked about. But, yeah, man, you start to get a little – like, imagine that guy with some weapons, the same running backs, who I'd like to be a little bit better than they were today. They didn't seem to run hard in the first half. They had some nice runs there mixing in the second quarter. They didn't start out great. And Toa Feely's got to learn not to run backwards. But that'll happen. He still had his touchdown. But overall, when he gets more skill around him, imagine not having to die. Like, the run game won't be such a big part of what he does, right? It'll be something he can do, like the Jerkovic guy. Like, he's not what you'd call a runner. Like he's going to run it 16 times a game, but he can run and extend drives. And that's what Jordan Travis's legs could be used for in the future, not, you know, first down carries as much as he's doing right now, because he's so good and he's starting to get real comfortable in the passing game. And that makes everything harder to defend.
And Corey, really, to me, the MVP of the game was the defensive front for Florida State. You mentioned Jerkovic. Imagine what this score would have been if not for the 80 of the officials. They probably hold him in the teens. You've got a really good offense, really one of the top quarterbacks in the league, one of the top receivers in the league, and you really, for the most part, held them in check. And that's all due to most of his pressure. There are a couple of times guys got open the secondary, but he couldn't get the ball to him. That's Jermaine, Keir. Just give us a little about what the effort those guys put forward today and how important they were to this victory.
Oh, they were everything, right? Like that's the reason they had 3 points at halftime. That's the reason you got a 23-point lead, is because – the only drives they had, the only field goal they had in the first half was on the two ridiculous penalties. Mm-hmm. That's the only way they moved down the field at all. They had 90 yards of offense in the first half. I legitimately thought if Florida State, if they don't give up that long kick return and they get a three and out right there and then go score again, they probably pulled Jerkovic because he was getting killed and they wanted to save him for the last. I mean, they had no chance. Now, what they did in the second half is they started double teaming Jermaine. And, you know, that worked out a little bit better, but not much. Again, you're literally about a fingertip away from winning the game on a strip sack by Jermaine in the fourth quarter. He just doesn't hit the ball. He hits the arm and not the ball, so it's ruled an incomplete pass. But I thought Keir Thomas is great, man. To be the other defensive end transfer, he's incredible. I mean, he had five quarterback hits today. He had 2 6, 2 sacks, and then 5 other times he knocked him down. Just a great game by him. And Jermaine's just a game wrecker, as Hasselbeck was saying on the broadcast.
You mentioned Jerkovic, and we brought up earlier, it sure looked like that. If you saw that replay, it looked like his head hit the ground. He was stunned. Why that? Isn't there supposed to be an official up there from the ACC to see when a guy could be concussed to pull him off? Why they didn't pull him off and bring him the 10 at that point? I mean, what's
Gene,
that guy there
on,
for?
Why are you asking these questions?
You're there for an entire game, one person to do one job, and you see that obviously the guy's head hits the ground. But what is he up there? Is he maybe at that time he was back in the press box getting a soda or something? He didn't watch the play.
Or getting some chowder. He's probably getting some clam
chowder
or something.
Yeah, man. So okay, that explains it. Thanks, Corey. You know, beforehand, it was interesting. The entire staff picked Florida State, even though Florida State was a 3-point underdog. I think it dropped to 2 by game time. 3-point underdog, but everybody on our staff picked Florida State to win. You're saying coming off an emotional win against a rival, you're going on a road, you know, a team with a really good quarterback. You understand why everybody picked BC, but we didn't. Because why is that, Corey? And why were we all right? Because we know the mentality of this team is so different than what it's been the last few years.
Well, I'll be honest. I think Ira screwed up my pick because I did pick Boston College to win, and he picked Florida State.
So
I'll admit to that. But my thought was, and I said this before the game, and I just wrote it. This is the most impressive win Norvell's had, in my opinion. But it's not the most important. The most important was last week against Miami. Yeah. But to this stretch of at Clemson, NC State when you're flu ridden, Miami at home, in a really emotional physical game, and then having to turn around 6 days later and play that team, that kind of team, up there on the road, and to jump out like that and then hold on. Again, this is where you know where a culture is being built, and it's not just a one-off. It's not just a fluke. That's really impressive, man. So you're starting to believe now, right? Like, I wouldn't be stunned at all if they go down and beat the Gators. I might actually be surprised if they don't, with the way they're playing and how hard they play for this coaching staff and each other is really commendable. It's a real fun team to cover. I can't stress that enough. After 0-4, especially the first half against Louisville, I was like, man, this sucks. This isn't fun. This isn't what we get into this job for. The last 2 months have been really incredibly enjoyable.
Yeah, they really have. Anything else you got for Tom before we let Coracle go and write his stellar column that you should all be tuned into to warchant.com to read?
No, man, I guess I just want to ask, it's been a good year for you. Your Braves won the World Series. Your alma mater is playing some good football. I don't know if anybody's heard about Georgia football, but it's pretty good.
Charleston Southern has, baby.
Florida State.
How about those Falcons the other night? They put on quite the show.
Well, Gene, come on. Calm down.
Damn. There's the wet blanket. There's the wet blanket. But the Noles are 5-2 in their last seven football games. They're 5-2 in their last seven football games.
Yeah. Wow.
Is this the happiest you've been in 5 years, 10 years? What do you think?
Yeah, I would say it's the most fun I've had covering this team since probably 13. 14 was fun, but there was also we all know what was happening on 14. Yeah, this is the most fun I've had covering this program since 2013. They are just really fun to watch and talk about and write about. They are not overly talented, but that doesn't mean they can't be fun to watch and appreciate. And I hope people are appreciating what this team and what this coaching staff has done, because this is an all-time turnaround from what was going to be a disastrous season. It's really impressive.
Court, before to let you go, they put up the stat right after the game. I don't know if you saw that. It was interesting that there's only been two other Power 5 teams that started out 0-4 that made a bowl. So, I mean, Florida State going for history against the Gators, and I'm sure you're looking forward to that trip down to Hogtown. I think, is it still 3-3, Tom? Have you been checking the scores up in Missouri?
Yeah, I saw early second quarter, 3-3.
I don't know. I'm a little torn on that because, Corey, I'm afraid they might leave Mullen up there if he loses. They won't let him back in Gainesville. So I kind of don't want the interim coach to come in.
Right.
Like Odell, they'd be inspired to play for him. We need to make sure Mullen makes it for one more game, right?
Yeah, and then Norvell can get him fired too. He's the coach killer.
I like it. Corey Clark, warchant.com senior writer. Looking forward to your column coming up on warchant.com soon. And, of course, you can watch Corey on Seminole Headlines and Wake Up War Chant podcast. You can listen to every day. Subscribe on your various feeds, Spotify, Android, iTunes, all that good stuff. Thanks for your input,
Corey. I love
Corey.
Everyone.
Have a good one. See ya.
He always leaves it with love. And that's right. Yes. We're loving life right now. It's 6-3 Florida, by the way, Gene. That's the score.
They got a field goal. Look at Eric. He's already feeling confident.
That was supposed – oh, my goodness. Eric, I hope you're right. I hope you're right. I mean, listen, if you're talking about buy-in, this team is more bought in. This team believes in where it's going. Florida doesn't know what it is, although it's impressive that they're holding Mizzou, which is a pretty good offense, to 3 points.
Yeah, how do they give up, 40-some points to Samford at half, and they've held Missouri to 3? That team is wacky.
I do not know what that's about. I do know that we're not going to take any new callers. Terry, our screener, I don't know if the software is messing with you again, but we've got 3 in the queue currently.
Yep.
I don't have information on them right now in terms of names. We'll go to them in just a moment. But before we get there, I've got to remind you, everybody, TeamPaper.com brings you the War Chant postgame show all season long, and we are very thankful for TeamPaper.com. 80 cents of every dollar you spend at TeamPaper.com goes directly to the players that are a part of the Team Paper program. It's the era of the NIL, everybody. It seems crazy, but it's the way it's going to be from here on out. You can pay players. It's a thing. And Team Paper recognizes that the big players, the big-time stars, the quarterbacks, the point guards, whoever they are across the sports, are going to get the lion's share of the money. But that's not what Team Paper is about. Upwards of 20 Florida State Seminoles, a part of the Tallahassee bundle. Remember, when you go to TeamPaper.com, use the code WARCHANT. You get $10 off the Tallahassee bundle, and every dollar gets spread evenly among those upwards of 20 Florida State Seminoles at TeamPaper.com. And remember, if you've already supported them, thank you very much for doing so. Basketball, softball, more sports on the way. Supporting FSU athletes, one purchase at a time. That's TeamPaper.com. We really appreciate their support of the War Chant postgame call-in show. So we have a few callers remaining, Gene. Let's get right to them. Alex, I believe this is Alex in Fort Lauderdale. You go ahead, sir. How's it going tonight on a victory Saturday for the Noles? Welcome to the program.
Doing great. I'm FSU fan 1993 in the chat, by the way.
Oh, awesome. Well, we appreciate your contributions as well. Thank you so much.
Probably going to be a future pillar member, once, a little south to south.
What do you think, Alex?
But I have two quick points. I said probably going to be a future pillar member at some point, but
yeah. Oh, absolutely, sir. Well, what do you think about the game? You got any thoughts on FSU-BC?
Two things. One, FSU needs to file an injunction against the NCAA for officiating because I've never seen anything that terrible.
Yep. That's
We don't disagree. We're all on the same page there. Yeah. I think it would have to be against the ACC, but I don't know. I don't know.
Second point, though, is we need to get like Jeff Gordon or Dale Earnhardt Jr. to give a pep talk. I'm not taking your foot off the gas.
Well, okay. So what plays or what drives or what moments, Alex, do you think that FSU took its foot off the gas for today's purposes?
It seems like after that first touchdown in the second half, minus all of the officiating, that it just seemed like we couldn't get anything going either in the run game or the pass game. And I know every time we tried to do something, it was negated by some guy not lined up or some fancy penalty. But it seemed like in the Miami game, we had an opportunity just to put this away, and we just don't seem to have that instinct yet. And it's not like a specific drive. I always just feel like in the second half, we come on a little flat, and the team always seems to jump on that, like, indecisiveness is maybe a better word to call it.
Well, I think it's a good call, Alex, because I think it's a larger concern. I just don't know that it materializes much today.
I think I agree with Alex in the Miami game. I think that was an issue. They were flat to begin that second half. That's absolutely accurate. And that obviously you had the big lead. You had a chance to really put them away, and you didn't. This one was a little weird because you did come out the beginning again. We've said it over and over. They came out beginning of the second half and went right down the field, decisive drive, and just pummeled them, and they drove, and BC answered, and they were going to answer, and they drove down the field in a horrible, ridiculous, when they converted a fourth down, they were already within field goal range to score again, and it was another bad call that kept them from doing that. So, you know, I think the next drive, they went three and out. You never want to go three and out, but it does happen sometimes. I mean, this isn't quite, it's better. It's not a well-oiled machine just yet. I was a little bit more disappointed defensively. And again, how much that was officiating or not, that you let BC score three straight touchdowns in the second half. To me, that was a bigger issue really than the offense.
Yeah, agreed. And as Corey brought up, you know, third and obvious, you know, you're just not getting the stops that you need. One of which was a broken play. True. In Jerkovic Jerkovic has run for over 60 yards in all three games prior to today that he had played meaningful snaps. He got hurt against UMass, but he played Colgate, Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech. Didn't matter. He went for over 60 yards rushing in each of those instances. And that counts sack yardage against. So you got to know on third and forever that his legs are a threat. And we just, you know, we fell asleep a couple of times.
Yeah.
So I agree. And Alex, I see you in the chat saying the call got dropped. No, my man, that's me. I'm quick to hang up guy. That's who I am as the monitor, the call monitor here. But we appreciate the call, and we look forward to hearing from you next week on the post game show. I don't know that it's a huge issue today. But I hear you. The good
it was for Miami, though. Yeah, I agree.
If we're getting mad about Florida State not finishing, that means they're in position to win football games. And remember where we were at 0-4. What an improvement. It's 5-2 in the last seven games. All right. This is what we're talking about. We now go to unnamed caller from the 772. I go out to the 772. I believe that's the east coast of the state. But go ahead, caller. Who are you? And what do you want to talk about?
Hey, this is Rick Heasley. I'm calling from St. Augustine.
What's up, Rick?
All right.
Welcome to the program.
No, I'm happy to be here. Just, you know, just want to reiterate to everyone, you know, more than anything else, I was there with my brother, you know, watching the Notre Dame game. And I will take this win, as ugly as it was, you know, no matter what the circumstances were, even if it was officiating, which was god-awful at best, I will take this win over a, you know, an ugly win over a god-awful loss. So just want to say thank you guys for everything that you do and appreciate everything.
Hey, we appreciate your perspective, Rick.
Thank you, Rick.
There's a lot to feel good about today. Even though the officials tried to ruin your day, it's like a thunderstorm or a hurricane on a wedding day. You know, it just ruined the proceedings. But we persevered here today, Gene. Florida State showed the toughness to get the win. There's a whole lot to feel good about that we've seen the last 7 weeks.
It's great that we're bitching about officiating, and rightfully so, and that we're complaining about, you know, they were a little flat at times, this and that in the second half, and then put them away. But, you know, they got the W. It's nice that you can have these complaints, and Florida State gets a win. How far this team has come in just a you know, since the beginning of the year and since last year that we're to this point. But, you know, sure, there's still a few things that need to be cleaned up. But, I mean, that's a great call, Rick, to tell us, yeah, I mean, this it's great that the way this program is trending. You know, you got to like the foundation that's been laid at the heart of this team. They're finding ways to get wins, even though there's some adversity against them. It's all positive, man. We're one game away from being bowl eligible. So this is an exciting time. Like you said to Corey, man, this is a, it's a fun time to cover Florida State.
Yeah. This is the most likable team in a long time, football-wise. Yeah. Easily. I mean, they're like we've said it, I'm a broken record. There are some teams that were a lot better than this one, like 10 wins or better, and you just didn't like the guys. You know what I mean? Like just about the culture and then the way they went about their business. This group is giving you everything they've got every week. There's just so much heart on that sideline and in that locker room. It's hard not to really rally around these guys. Brad, I agree too. There were some low points in special teams. The kickoff to get to the 40-yard line, a couple other moments where you just go, oh, this is what we do. But special teams did show some signs of life. Punt coverage, I think, was the best thing that we saw today. Pinning Boston College back inside their own 10-yard line. I think it was three separate occasions. And one of those times, it sets up a safety. Special teams sets up 2 points. So that cannot go unnoticed. So that's a good comment, Brad.
That's true. Linda brought this up, and we haven't got to see. And you can watch the post-game press conference with Mike Norvell on War Chant. It's right on the front page of War Chant TV, or it's on this channel, the War Chant. If you're watching War Chant right now on YouTube, you can watch that. I'm curious, had FSU lost, if he would have mentioned the refs. I'm guessing yes at some point. At some point. I know Mike's very cool and doesn't like to do that, but I think had they lost the game for Florida State, yeah. My guess is they might have been brought up once or twice.
Yeah, you thought you could have gotten it and taken it from us, but that's a scene that we saw about 50 times today. Mike screaming down that line, Judge. But you guys tried. You tried your best, but you failed. You failed. The last, I don't know why the background changes every time I do that, but that's
what interesting. I thought you did something like, well, Tom's changing stuff.
I'm all about all kinds of different sports now. Let's see. It looks like it disappeared, Gene. Well, just pardon our dust, folks, while we take our final caller. There it is right there. I believe, yeah, it sure is. 53rd call in the history of his time at War Chant TV. We go to the Villages. Gene, you know who?
Wes, I know who this is. There's only one from the Villages.
All right, Wes, welcome to the program. Let's go.
What's up, fellas? Let's go. Hey, I was working all afternoon and didn't get to watch the game, but I got a bunch of text everybody's been talking about the officiating. Glad we got the win, but my thing is, do we dub the ACC and refer to them as another crappy call with regard to the officials? Because apparently there was a lot of, and I'm sure you guys have touched on it, but that was my comment. My question is, did you guys hear that Adam Fuller got to break the rock? I did hear that. And also, who is bringing the sod back, if you can, with that field the way it is up there? Because it is a sod game, which is awesome. And I'll hang up and listen. But before I go, you know, I got to cut the promo, make it quick. Y'all support Team Paper. You guys subscribe to the YouTube channel as well as warchat.com, the best in the business, the Luna Coffee, Zaxby's, all of it. Get on it. Support it all. It's all good things. The content coming out's off the charts. Another good win. Got to go down to Gainesville next week. I plan on being there and get us bowl eligible. You guys keep up the good work as always, and I'll hang up and listen to what you got to say. Go Noles. Be good. Bye.
Thank you so much, Wes. Good call there. I'm going to do this, Tom. I think I can show the picture. This is from. Yep. They got mad we showed the video, but there it is. So you are correct. That is Adam Fuller. That's a great photo there. That you can get that on FSU Football, their Twitter feed. They put that out. Really neat photo of Adam Fuller breaking the rock.
They got mad that we showed the video from last week?
Well, yeah. No, not last. Whatever it was. Last year, at one point, we showed the thing and we got whatever. Oh, okay. The YouTube, whether it was them or it was the YouTube overlords, whatever the deal was, they did not like that.
We're only promoting your product, but, you know, whatever. We just lost Gene. He looks like he might have left the studio. You are now watching Solo Cam on the War Chant postgame show. I'm sure Gene's going to be right back in a moment. But, I mean, come on, guys. We're promoting the program. We're all Noles here. That's awesome that Adam Fuller was able to break the rock in that situation because, to me, folks, I think what that means is he might have saved his job. Why would you let Adam Fuller break the rock if you don't anticipate bringing him back next year? That would be my question. Gene, it's all right. I covered it because that's
I'm hitting too many buttons here. You know, when you give me to do, I just hit the big X button and I hit, that was not the leave that whatever. I screwed up.
Yep. YouTube. Yeah. Somebody just said YouTube heard you. They pulled you. They're like,
they're like, don't you dare.
Yeah. So, Gene, I was just saying that's a big moment that he breaks the rock. To me, that signals that he saved his job.
I would think so. It'd be a bad look for a guy to break the rock and then one game left and then you fire him after that. So it's amazing. A month ago, it seemed like a foregone conclusion that he was done. He was going to play out the season and be gone. But, man, that defense, it's really turned. And I don't think people realize this is a really good offensive team they went against. And even with the aided ACC officials, I mean, only managed what they did in this game, 23 points. And, you know, half of those points were given to them. So it's been a great job by the defense. And, I mean, you got, I think rightfully so, Fuller. I don't know if I'd had Fuller in the whole defensive line breaking the rock, but I mean, I'm very happy for him. Good guy. And, hopefully this trend continues.
Yeah. And well, that's huge, Gene, you know, just because we were talking off the air for all fall long about hot boards, defensive coordinator hot boards.
Yeah.
You have to break one out. It looks like you can just throw that in the trash bin. That's the end of it. Okay. That is quietly a really, really big deal that we'll have to react to on War Chant TV in the days to come. Reminder, tomorrow we have the Sunday Smash with Jeff and Ira. On Monday, 1 o'clock right here on War Chant TV, there's going to be the Jeff Cameron Show. As always, 1 o'clock every weekday we go live. We will be taking Thursday off for Thanksgiving, and this is our opportunity.
Slackers. I actually let him get a day off. I can't believe it. I'm getting lazy and freaking soft in my old age.
It's our opportunity, though, to say to all the callers and commenters and everybody who subscribed to the channel and they haven't, this is your first time by, we wish you a happy and safe Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Hope you enjoy the heck out of the turkey and being together with your family. That's something that not everybody got to do last year. And certainly, I think we're getting back to that place again where it's a special day. And if you're in one of those houses divided and you're talking about Florida and Florida State football in that coming Saturday, guess who gets to puff out their chest a little bit more at Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
It would be the members of the Knoll contingent. Final thoughts, Gene, anything that you have before we wrap up another edition of the War Chant Postgame Show?
Yeah, just another step in the progression of the staff of Mike Norvell and everybody. You know, we've seen it little by little, man. They just keep getting, seems better and better, and they keep overcoming more and more obstacles, and they build on that. It's one thing, it's the old adage, what doesn't kill you make you stronger. When they have adversity, they overcome it, and they're better for it. It builds more confidence on more confidence. So that, you know, today, you know, they had to overcome a lot of stuff last week against Miami, all the momentum. You know, some crazy plays that went against them in that second half when they lost the lead and they were able to come in. This week they had to overcome on the road against a good team, not a great team, a decent team, and yet overcome all the crazy official calls. It would have been easy again to just get so frustrated with that and just pack it in, but they didn't. They kept their composure. They went in and they did what they needed to get the win. It wasn't as dominating as it probably should have been. It doesn't matter. The W is the W. You were the better team. You deserve the win, and you got the win. So good on them.
And before we wrap up, to answer Wes's question, even if it's fake turf, somebody finds a way to take a haircut of the turf and bring it
home. I haven't had enough time to look at that to see who did you bring that up? We don't know who got the turf back yet.
So yeah,
Kier says Kier was. Okay, hopefully Dax is correct.
Well, that would be a great choice given that he had 7 tackles and he could have had 84 sacks today if he wasn't held. and somebody made a point earlier that, you know, from all the calls, you know, I think Kier in one situation didn't want to wrap up and drive the quarterback to the ground because God knows he would have been thrown.
But you see when he does that, he hits him, his arms are like this, and then he's like this. Yeah. He's like, I don't want to get called.
Right. And that's the legacy of this game, beyond the fact that the Noles improved to 5-6 and are now 5-2 in their last 7 football games with this roster. The other headline is, you tried, ACC refs. You tried your best, but you weren't good enough to best the Noles today in Chestnut Hoof. Florida State improves to 5-6, have a chance at a proper bowl berth with a win over the Gators. As we sign off tonight, we're going to be watching that game, I'm sure, Florida and Missouri, as they're into the late part of the second quarter. We, again, thank everybody who commented today on YouTube, Facebook Live, Twitter, the folks who have hit the like button on the video. If you haven't done so yet, please add yourself to the list. Today's a good day, Noles. Hit the like button. It's happy times in Tallahassee and everywhere in Nole Nation. If you haven't subscribed to the channel, please do so. And remember, we've got all kinds of great content. If you're not done and you want more coverage, stay with us right here on this channel. We've got post-game reactions. We've got Mike Norvell's press conference, selected player interviews, and the War Chant wrap, I'm sure, if the technology allows, with Corey and Ira will be coming as well. So for Gene Williams, the founder and administrator of WarChant.com, who will be putting out the stat bomb on WarChant.com tomorrow, my name is Tom Lang. I'm the director of original content. We're going to do the first ever War Chant postgame show after FSU Florida next week.
Wow.
10 to 15 minutes.
That's right. We didn't have one last year, Tom.
We didn't have one. So it's time. Let's roast some Gators, everybody. You enjoy Florida week. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.